Good morning, Good News Church. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Good morning, Good News Church. How many of y'all happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Before I begin, I'm just going to do a little quick prayer. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your love today. We thank you for being God today. We honor you. We worship you with the fruit of our lips. We will honor you. We praise your holy name. We lift you up. You're worthy. Your mercy. You're good. And your mercy endures forever. We thank you this morning. What you get ready to do today in this house, a Good News Church, and the lives of the people that come in. We want to honor you and thank you for your grace. We love you. And your mercy endureth forever. If you're in agreement with that prayer, rise to your feet and let us worship God this morning. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation. People from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation. We worship you.
See, endure it forever. people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship. Continue to sing about His goodness this morning. He's been so good to us. Amen. The scripture says that we'll see His goodness in the land of the living. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to know that He's good. We can experience it right here on earth. Sing this out. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He gave me beauty for ashes and joy for my mourning and praise for heaviness. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my head. He gave me life forevermore. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. Yeah. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He gave me beauty for ashes and joy for my mourning and praise for heaviness. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my head. He gave me life forevermore. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. Yeah. I see this part. It says He picked me up and turned me around. Because He picked me up and He turned me around, and He placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He picked me up and He turned me around, and He placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He picked me up and He turned me around, and He placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He picked me up and He turned me around, and He placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. You've been so good, so good, so good to me. So good, so good to me. So good, so good to me, Jesus. One more. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you've been so good to us, and we celebrate your goodness today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father, for who you are. You're a good Father, and you love us. We just revel in that love this morning. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to see you this morning. Take just a moment and greet somebody around you.
Well, good morning, Good News Church. Good morning, good morning. I love all the fellowshipping going on. Loving on each other. Welcome, everybody. If you're new to Good News Church, we're so glad you came this morning. We're expecting God to do awesome things. And if you come all the time, so thankful you're back with us this morning. And today, we're just going to share a few things, and we all have a bulletin. If you came in and you got a bulletin, pull that out. If you did not get a bulletin, you like a bulletin, you can just raise your hand, and the ushers will get you one. All right, so we see those hands. Inside your bulletin today, you will see several things. First thing that you see is this green connection card. This is the card that we fill out every single time we come. If you have any new information, please make sure to fill that out so that we can be sure to get you information when you need it. And then also we have the offering envelope that we have for cash giving that you can fill this out and turn that in into the offering plate when it comes by. Also, we wanted to just tell you thank you so much for your generous support. We had the youth raised over $500 at the bake sale. Y'all like some goodies. I'm just saying. So that's a lot of goodies. And that was able to scholarship over 16 campers to go to camp. So that's pretty awesome, because that 16 lives change forever because you lack some goodies. And also, there's many more that came to the camp, and I'm sure the report is going to be awesome. We have a video. Okay, so we have a video this morning that we're going to show. And then also, we want to tell you about the new Movers Outreach. That's going to be Sunday, August 5th at 5 p.m. Last time, they had a great time going out into the community, talking to new movers that came into this town. And they were able to pray with a lot of people, talk with a lot of people, and just share the good news, share the love of God with people in our community. So you want to come, bring a water. There'll be some training. If you want a GNC shirt, those are really cool looking, bring $7 for that if you don't have one. Also, there's going to be the Bold Venture for Women. The men just went on this, and it's a fantastic weekend. You want to make sure that you'll be there. It's September 20th through the 22nd. And this weekend, it's a weekend really for self-care, I think, for spiritual care, for emotional care. There's just a lot that happens during this weekend. You get together with a bunch of ladies. You hear the word of God. You get in small groups and you get to share things. And God does some incredible things during that week. You're able to share, and then God just changes you from the inside out. You really want to be there. And there's going to be a group of us going, so you can come with us. There's also cater registration coming soon. You can email Pastor Susie. All of this is in your bulletin right here. CADA is just a training for people that really have a heart for missions or have a heart for sharing the gospel. And so there's really awesome, wonderful training that happens through CADA. And it's like a school, like a Bible school. So you want to be a part of that. If you want more information, you can email right there. Okay. Well, we're going to have a special report from Grayson.
We're looking at all the counselors. We got Eddie Kennedy, Coleman Tanton, Lindsay Kennedy. Wait, you really can't. Katarina Judd. All right. We got Elena Wells.
Shut it all on me.
We got Fab. All right. We got Jesse. And we got a crowd full of teens. You can't see anything in this light. I'm about to shine my flashlight all up in them, and they don't know what hit them. I got a really bright flashlight. And yo, this is me, Grayson Judd. I'm in the lights. It's blinding. I'm looking right at some headlights of some cars, just giving you a little update. I probably talked too long in the service, so Pastor Nate's probably getting a little uncomfortable thinking I'm taking up too much of the service with his video, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so I just want to say, hey, Camp Overflow has been going super so far. As you can tell, I lost my voice a little bit because we had a little bit of a kind of a camp tradition, which we call Holy Ghost Party, which is basically me screaming into the mic for about an hour and a half. But tonight, we just had a ton of kids get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's ridiculous how easy kids get baptized in the Holy Spirit when you get them into the presence of God. And it's just right there. We have, I know at least 3 or 4 kids got saved tonight. I haven't even heard the full story of everything yet because we're still playing Capture the Flag out in the field. But I am excited about what's been going on. This camp has been running remarkably smooth besides the second. Hey, what's up? Yeah, just 1 second. Let me finish this. And it's been running remarkably smooth, and we are excited. Thank you, everybody who donated. Thank you, everybody who prayed for us. And Camp Overflow called. It's been a heck of a year. So love you guys. Have a good Sunday. Bye-bye.
All right. You guys have to tell Grayson that you appreciated his video. I wonder what that kid wanted, really, is what I want to know. Like, was he trying to go home, or did he have some ants in his tent? I don't know. Anyhow, my name is Nate Barber. I'm the executive pastor here, and I'm here to receive our offering for this morning. I have a confession to make. For much of my life, I've been involved in an unhealthy relationship, and it's with food. So, Reese's peanut butter cups and milkshakes and Zaxby's chicken fingers and just all kinds of delicious stuff. I've been moved and motivated by my taste buds and my feelings. And it's been like an unhealthy relationship. But for the past 2 weeks, I have been on this diet that has been teaching me that food is fuel. Everybody repeat that after me. Food is fuel. I'm learning not to be moved by my feelings and my taste buds as I'm eating a hard-boiled egg for snack every day with like no flavor whatsoever. You can't have no cheese on there, all kinds of stuff. But it's interesting to me because I don't know if you can, identify with that in your relationship with food, but oftentimes we are motivated and moved by what we feel, aren't we? And as many things in this life, but it's also, we can also have an unhealthy relationship with our money, can't we? Just like food is fuel, money is a tool. And money is a tool that we're supposed to use to further advance the kingdom of God. It's a tool that we use, obviously, to pay our bills, to provide security and safety for ourselves and our homes, to buy the food that is fuel and not meant to be, an idol in our lives. But money is a tool. But many of us have an unhealthy relationship with money. I don't know if you're like me, but I've had an unhealthy relationship with money as well, in the sense that whenever I get a good amount of it, I want to hold on to it as much as I can, as long as I can, because I don't know if and when I'm going to ever have that amount of money again. You understand what I'm saying? Like a couple years ago, we sold our house, and we had lived in our house for 14 years, and so we had a decent amount of equity, so we had a decent amount of money that we were going to put into our next house. But I mean, that's a lot of money. And I'm thinking, oh man, and you start to feel yourself like closing in, like this is mine. I guess I'm precious. Don't want anybody to have it. And when am I ever going to see, 10, 20, 30, 40 grand again in a big lump sum, And I remember it was like that when I was a kid, man. You get $100 and you're like, whoa. And of course, when you're a kid, it's a different thing because you go to Walmart and you blow it on toys and plastic. But you get older and you're like, it's I want to keep and hold on to this. And so you have this unhealthy relationship with money. And so I want to remind you of something today. And this is a gentle reminder in Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5. We put that up in the Amplified. The writer says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. Everybody say free.
Free.
Free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Everybody say, be satisfied. Just like tap your neighbor a little bit and say, be satisfied. A gentle reminder, nudge your other one that you neglected for some reason and say, be satisfied. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, and here's the thing, he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. And see, and this is where the unhealthy relationship could be corrected if we understand that God is our source and that there's more where that came from. Then we won't have this unhealthy relationship where we're like, oh, I've got to hang on to it. And then the greed and avarice and lust for earthly possession, all that kind of settles in and tries to get us to withhold and close in. And it's like, you can't have what I have because I don't know if I'm ever going to get what I have again. But if you understand that God has promised that he will not leave us, abandon us, leave us without support, and we understand, we see him as our source, it's easy to live free from the love of money. Some of y'all need to have the DTR with your checkbook, defining the relationship. You know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, you and I, we're breaking up. You had a hold on me for way too long. You've maybe made some bad choices. I'm cutting you off. And you can be free from the love of money, and you can settle that God is your source. How does that tie to the offering today? Well, obviously, it means that every time you give, every time you open your hand, you're making a statement. God, I trust you. You're my source. You're my support. I know that with you as my source, there is a limitless supply. And I don't have to be concerned that when I open my hand, what I give is going to be taken away from me or that I'm going to go without, because I trust in him who's told me that he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, he won't abandon me or leave me without support. So that's good news for you today. You can give freely. You can give open-handedly. You can give generously today. And again, this isn't a ploy to get more of your money. There is an agenda. There's an agenda for you to live freely and you to not be, to not have this unhealthy relationship with the things that you have, but allow your relationship with your Heavenly Father to influence your life. And so you can live a free life. Amen. Let me pray for you as you endeavor to give and worship the Lord with your tithes and offerings today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your promise today that we can live free from the love of money. We can live with an open hand. We can live generously because we trust in your promise that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You won't abandon us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the psalmist wrote. And we'll never see you forsake us, and we'll never be forsaken because of Jesus and his promise and his lot in our lives. So, Father, we trust you. As we give today, we make a bold statement. We trust you as we put our money in the offering basket, as we write our check, as we text our dollar amount. We are making a statement that we trust in you, not in the world's manner of getting and giving, but we trust in you to supply our every need. You're our source. Just say that in your heart this morning, even out loud. God, you're my source, and I trust you. And every time you give, you make that statement. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been singing about the goodness of God this morning, and we'll continue to do so. He's a good father. He loves us. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. Sing it out. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. Stand to your feet and sing with us. We're going to sing just like we read there in Hebrews 13. You're never going to let me down. Let's sing that out.
You're never going to let me down.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, 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 yeah, you good, Lord. You are good, Lord. We want to see His goodness flow through us. And I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, yeah. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Yeah. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. 'Cause you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. Thank you, Jesus.
Soon.
am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Because you are perfect in all of the ways. You are perfect in all of the ways. You are perfect in all of the ways. To because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
generous, and what you've made us to be, Father, sons and daughters of love, filled to the full with your goodness, overflowing, Father, to others in our world. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you that you demonstrate your goodness in this place. even though someone may be watching by live streaming, your goodness is there, Father. No distance in prayer, no distance in the realm of the Spirit. So we thank you for that today, Lord. You meet needs, you encourage people, you bring revelation. Give us a greater understanding of who we are and our purpose of this church. And I thank you, Father, we endeavor to not only to hear, but to do, to act on what we hear, what the Spirit of God says. So I thank you for that, Father. We have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that are receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, sir. Well, our campers will be back around 1 o'clock for those who are picking them up. And they will be excited to be back. But it's good to hear those reports. You know, they always get kind of stressed out beforehand and no one signed up and all the details and all the different things. And it comes around and the power of God shows up and lives are changed. So it's good. Well, we're going to continue today with our year-long series on love. We've never in our history of the church done a series for 7 months. So it's good. But I think we can look at that as a sign. God is obviously preparing us for something, getting us ready for open doors of ministry, and those things are happening. And I think just all that's happening in this country is kind of the opposite of what we see happening in the world, is sometimes, you know, God's love being manifested in a greater way. And so let's open today with John 10:10, probably one of our foundational verses over the years here at the church. Let's look at it. Really contrast God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the devil. John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And it's easy sometimes to get these mixed up, what God's doing, what the enemy's doing. A lot of time God gets the blame for a lot of things that he didn't do. But the enemy, he comes in order to steal. That means to take things from you. You ever had something taken from you? It's not a good feeling. You feel violated. You feel afraid. Are they going to come back? It's not a good feeling to have something taken. To kill means to take the life, and certainly it means physically, but certainly our dreams can be killed, you know, die. Dreams, hopes, hope for the future, areas of our lives, maybe a relationship. You ever had a death in a relationship? And you know the person's still living, but it's dead. And then to destroy something means to just break it apart. And so into just bits and pieces, something that was maybe beautiful, something that was producing, something that was valuable, it's just smashed and broken. So these are all the earmarks of the enemy: stealing, killing, and destroying. But the good news is Jesus came and overcame the devil and defeated him 2,000 years ago. And so in any area of stealing, killing, and destroying, there's God's life, the life of Jesus, that will come into that area. It will replace what's stolen. It will resurrect what died. And then it'll put back together what was broken. Says in Luke 4 that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. So God is into abundance. And you really got to renew your mind, because we just live in a world of lack. Everything's about lack. And especially if you listen to the news media, it's all about lack. And then also the commercials and the marketers are about lack, trying to get you to feel lack so you'll do something to fill that void that they've created. And don't tell me we're not influenced by the media and by entertainment and all the different things. And it's a subtle message, but it's about lack. Lack of joy, lack of health, lack of provision, lack of love. And whether the enemy is outright attacking you or you're doing it to yourself through self-destructive behavior, anybody can relate to that? He's trying to do these things in your life. But we need to realize that God is a God of abundance. He's got a life, and not just talking about heaven, he's got a life now overflowing with good things. Jesus came to bring us abundance. Jesus came to bring us the abundant life. And abundance till it overflows. And he wants to bring increase to every area of your life. Satan wants to bring decrease. God wants to bring increase. So let's take this over to what we've been talking about this year, about God's love and the love of God working in us and through us. Let's go to Ephesians 3. And we know this is one of Paul's prayers. But just as you're reading this, just look at the abundance that's in these verses. Ephesians 3, verse 16. And Paul is praying this for the believers, praying this for the church. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. We're not dealing with a God of lack. We're not dealing with a God that doesn't have enough. We're dealing with a God that has an abundant supply, overflowing supply. More than enough for all 7 billion of us, whether it was 7, 17 billion, 70 billion, a trillion people. God's got enough abundance and provision for everyone. And if you believe in aliens, he's got abundance for them too. He's the rich treasury of his glory. You should meditate on that a little bit. The rich treasury of his glory. To be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide. Make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That's Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer for us. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, and you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence, become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That doesn't sound to me like lack. That doesn't sound to me like decrease. That doesn't sound like barely getting by. It doesn't sound like not having enough. He wants us to be filled with his fullness, filled with who he is, and he is love. God is love. He wants us filled up to overflowing with his love, that we have enough for our families, for our marriages, for grandkids, for uncles, grandparents, neighbors, people at Walmart. Yes, even people at Walmart. People on the job, even that person you don't like, you don't get along with. He's got an abundance of love. And it says that love never fails. Love always wins. Love always brings victory. That means you're full of victory.
Hallelujah. Glory.
You're not full of lack. You're not decreasing. You're increasing. The more the love of God is manifested and flowing in your life, the more increase is coming. And he's got an abundance. And so we put up on that next verse. And we have used this next verse. We've milked this verse over the years. We even got our own terminology for it. We call it E320. It's kind of a good news term. It's not a Mercedes. It's an Ephesians 3:20. And we've used this for a lot of different things. And we can, you know, health, provision, maybe a vision for your life, all kind of different things. But this is a love verse. This is about the love of God. All that we read about was love. The highest purpose of this verse is God's love. Now look at it in terms of that. Now to him who by a consequence of the action of his power that has at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly. That love in us, super abundance. It's not just a little itty bitty amount of love that we're dealing with. It's an abundance of love. Carry out his purpose and do super abundantly. I mean, you go ahead and just say that, super abundant. How many times have you used the word superabundant this week? You failed? It's okay. We have grace here. No condemnation. Superabundance. Frank, big deal, superabundance ball. Superabundance is all over you, Frank. Tom, Mr. Superabundant himself. Superabundant, over, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God wants us, we're to be filled. We are filled. We just need to recognize it. We are filled and flooded with the presence of God. We are filled and flooded with love. We're not trying to get love. Love's not out here. We're trying to get more of it. No, we're filled with it. We're filled with God. We just need to tap into it. We need to believe it. We need to expect it. And we need to believe for it to be released in our world. Because love will change things. Love will transform things. Love will make things beautiful. Love will make things better. Love will bring increase. Love will bring abundance on the scene. Love will bring God's goodness on the scene. All that God is, if he is love, when you're walking in love, that love's being released, it's bringing God on the scene. It's bringing God in your home. Our home should be super abundantly full of his love. And the enemy's trying to bring his super abundance of lack, of hate and division. He's trying real hard right now to divide us. Anytime you hear people talking on the news media, talking about a divided country, we're divided, we're divided. And we listen to that, and then we believe that, and then we expect it, and we expect division. It's almost like we expect bad things more than we do good things. our believing comes by what we hear, what we meditate on, what we listen to. And so I as we've been talking about this love this year, I believe transformation is happening. I believe change is happening. Maybe not be on the speed you want to happen, but it's going somewhere. I hear it when I talk to people. I can hear it. Change is happening. Transformation is happening. Things are getting better. And that's going to continue. As we continue to grow in this, it's going to get better. I'm not saying the world's not going to get any better, but our world and the world that we influence is going to get better. So we need to be expecting this. We need to be, you know, we talk about our words. We need to be saying this. We need to be thinking about this. Calling this in. This is what Paul prayed for the church. Of all the things Paul could have prayed, this is what he prayed. He prayed about being filled and flooded with God's presence, founded securely on love, rooted in love, grounded in love. And so, you know, the economic system in this world is, you know, well, it's built on these credit cards, debt. It is built on, see if I got, I actually have some dollars today. It's built on this currency here. Susie was talking about that, the economics of love. It's all built on this. But God's currency, God's system is built on love. It works by love. It flows through love. His power works by love. Faith works by love. It all works by His love. Paul gave a testimony about the Thessalonian church. And I believe this will be a testimony about Good News Church. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We ought and indeed are obligated as those in debt to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you, each toward the other, is increasing and abounds. I like that. I want that to be the testimony of Good News Church. Their faith is growing exceedingly, and the love for each one of you is increasing and abounds. God wants abounding love. He wants you to know that you are loved tremendously, how much He loves you, and what He has done and will do for you. And for that so much to change you that it just fills you up to overflowing, and then it just comes out in your world. I believe this is happening. Now look at Acts 4. And they'd experienced this abundance. And so I'm keeping this vision before you, because I got to give you vision. I got to give you hope. I got to give you to believe bigger than what you have. Because we're just left to ourselves. We're just going to, you know, we just settle. We just get comfortable. We just go with the course of the world. God's got so much for you. Even if this year has been a disaster, even if some tough things are happening, He can turn it around. He can change it today. But your thinking, your attitude has got to change. If you're not expectant, things won't happen. That expectancy. And I know, and so the enemy tries to steal that from you, tries to take your faith, your expectancy. You just wake up and it's just like, just another day. Just another ordinary day. And to take all expectancy. And then for many people, they almost expect negative things to happen. Bad things to happen at home, bad things to happen at school, bad things to happen. It's just an expectancy.
But let's look at the early church, Acts 4. And there are pattern, and there, not only there are pattern, there are standard, but God wants us to go above this. Now listen to Acts 4, verse 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own. That's his stewardship. He entrusts us with this body. He entrusts us with finances. He entrusts us with stuff. He entrusts us with relationships. We're just stewards, managers of what he's entrusted us with. Not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusive of his own, but everything they had was in common and for use of all. Now look at this kind of environment. It was an environment of love. It was an environment of abounding love. It was an environment of care for each other. It was an environment of serving others. It wasn't an environment of what I can get out of this. It wasn't an environment about me and what I can get and me looking good. That's not what it was for each other. This is what a church should be like. And I want to tell you this. People in our lives, I mean, we may think they're, like even like in a church, they're looking at, well, they're seeking programs. They're seeking some kind of a building or all the different things that people are seeking or people in our world. You know what they're really seeking? They want to be loved. That is the main thing. Whether they know it or not, they may look at it in a lot of different areas. They may think it's fame or wealth or all these different things. But when it comes down to it, it's love. People want to be loved. People want to be cared for. This is what the church ought to be. We ought to be a place of love. We ought to be a place of care. And we can't do it without God. And we can't do it without faith. And I've certainly tried to make it happen. But I can't make it happen. I just got to let it happen. I just got to keep on preaching, keep on praying, keep on trying to model. But look at this church. And with great strength, verse 33, and with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor, and goodwill rested richly upon them all. That sounds to me like abundance. Not just a little bit of loving kindness, or favor, or goodwill, rested richly upon them all. Now look at the result of this. And it all goes to love. Love for God, love for our neighbor, love for ourselves. It all goes to that. This is the royal law. Look what happened. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them. Plenty of love to go around for everybody. For as many were owners of lands or houses, proceeded to sell them, and one by one they gave back the amount received from the sales and laid the feet of the apostles, special messengers, and then distribution was made as anyone had need. This is the vision. I'm not going to give up on it. Some days you want to give up on it. Some days you wonder, is anything happening? But I'm not going to give up. And I'm going to keep on thinking big. And I'm going to keep on expecting. And keep on expecting this, what the Word says. Because this is our standard. This is what He has for us. And I believe that people are letting go of things. I'm seeing that. I believe that people are forgiving. I do. I think that's happening. I think people are forgiving others. Maybe for some long-standing things with some other people. I think people at Good News Church are choosing not to be offended. Because offense steals the word. And just the littlest of things can offend people. But I believe we're choosing not to be offended. I believe that people are choosing to be generosity. I mean, I believe, you know what I'm saying. People are choosing to be generous. And I believe this is the environment where God, the kind of environment where God can move, where receiving from God is easy, miracles are easy, where love is, there is victory, love never fails. I believe God has taken us somewhere, and let's follow, let's go with Him. All right, let's look over in Romans 5. I'm really excited about Romans 5 today. I'm excited about it about every day, but I'm really excited about Romans 5. I hope that you will be too. But then law came in only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased. Does anybody here today think sin is increasing? I don't know if it's really more sin than years ago, but we're certainly know more about it because of media. We can know about sins a whole lot faster now, and about a whole lot of things that we didn't even know was happening. And then our exposure to sin, for example, pornography or any other kind of thing you can think of, can be accessed right now while we're having service on your phone. Used to be, talking about pornography back in my day, it used to be hard. You have to go. I've never bought a magazine, never. Now I won't say I never saw one, but I never bought one. But it was hard. I didn't have the guts to walk into that store and buy one. But no access to it. And now, flooded with that. But I mean, just about any kind of. I mean, you want to watch people being murdered, you can watch that. You want people being punished, you can watch that. You can want people being tortured. I mean, any kind of thing. I mean, any kind of drug that you want to order. Anything is available through technology. You got the funds. But a lot of it, you don't have to pay for it even. Just pay for the phone. It's weird. So there is really, I mean, more opportunities to sin, I guess, because of all that. Where sin increased and abounded. Now listen, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased the more and superabounded. So that just as sin has reigned in death, so grace, his unearned and undeserved favor, might reign also through righteousness, right standing with God, which issues in the eternal life through Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, our Lord. Put verse 20 back up there. Let's just say, I don't really know if we are, but the news media says we are. The Democrats and Republicans certainly think we are more divided than ever. I don't have the stats. We can look at Mexico and all the murders that are happening there. I mean, that's a stat we could look at. But if there is division in this country, that should be good news for the church, for it's an opportunity for grace to come. Whatever the enemy's doing, God's grace is more. Whatever he's stealing, God's grace is more. Whatever the enemy's killing, God's grace is more. Whatever he's destroying, God's grace is more. If racism is on the increase, unity and love is more. It overwhelms, it overcomes that. This is... I don't know if you guys are dead today. If you are, I'm going to resurrect you. Grace is on the increase then. If sin is abounding, grace is increasing. Get ready for more grace. Get ready for an abundance of grace in your marriage, in your home, and love and God's goodness. Get ready for more. Get ready for more unity. We don't have to go with the flow. We're in God's economy. His economy, that's what we're in. That's the system. And love is the currency. Let's invest in that. So this is a time of great hope. This is a time of great opportunity. It's not a time for the church or for you to go crawl in a hole somewhere. It's not a time for you to be detached. This is not that time. This is a time for us to come together. This is a time for us to come work together. And this is a time where we need to be expectant of the power of God to transform and bring change. I mean, what they experienced at camp, people being saved, miracles, same God. And really, they've got a lot of obstacles out where they are. But if we're not expecting it, we have to expect it. We've got to expect that grace. Every day we wake up, I'm filled with the love of God. I'm filled with God's grace. The Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to tap into that. Because right now, you've got an abundance of love in you. It's been poured out, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's there. Today, let's tap into it today at our homes. If it hasn't been there, if there's been strife and division, tell that strife and division to go. We've been given authority. Tell it to go, and you call in what you want in your home. I'm having grace and mercy and love. That's who I am. That's what our families, see, the devil wants to divide our families. But God's grace is flowing. Let it flow. Let it bring healing. Let it bring unity. And if the Lord speaks to you about doing something, then you be obedient. But if not, your job is to pray. Your job is to believe. Your job is to live it the best you can. And none of us are going to live it perfectly. But then if He speaks to you about doing something in love, you do it. Be obedient. Get ready for more grace. I like this. Get ready for more grace than you've ever experienced in your life. More compassion flowing in your life more than ever before. Get ready for more miracles than you've ever experienced before. Get ready for more testimonies than you've ever had or heard before. These are days of overwhelming grace and love. I'm going to end my part with a prayer, and we may end early, or I'm going to turn it over to Susie or Nate, or maybe Janice, maybe Martha, I don't know. But I just want to do this right now. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And this is one of Paul's prayers. Look what he prays here. And may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that He may strengthen and confirm and establish your hearts faultlessly pure and unblameable in holiness in the sight of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, with all his saints, the holy and glorified people of God. Amen. So be it. Let's stand right up. I just want to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray this. Hallelujah. And I want you to get in the habit of doing this. I want you to get in the habit of speaking this out. I'm going to lead us, but you pray. You speak this into your family. You speak this into your marriage. You speak this into your relationships. You speak this into your neighborhood. You speak this into your place where you work. You don't need to live in an environment of strife and division. That's not where God made you to live. That's not His will. Thank you, Father. Father, we just give you praise today. We thank you for abounding love. First of all, we are just so grateful for your love flowing in us. We just thank you today for your goodness. We thank you today for your mercy. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your favor. For the gift of righteousness. Father, we thank you for heaven as our eternal home. I thank you today for just peace. I thank you for joy. Maybe if folks came in here today and their joy has left, may it just come back today in the name of Jesus. But just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. All the free gifts. Thank you for your Son Jesus that came and lived and died, was buried, was raised on the third day, took our punishment, took our lack, gave us His righteousness, gave us His life, gave us His righteousness, His right standing with the Father. Thank you, Father. Now my prayer today, Father, as we come together in agreement here as a church, we come into agreement, Lord, for that love to be abounding in each one of us. Increasing and abounding. And there's no limit to it. May it just increase and abound in the name of Jesus. Will that love just flow out of us like never before? So much so that people will say, hey, they've changed. They're different. I can't put my finger on it, but we know what it is. It's your love working in us. Lord, attract people to Good News Church because of the love that's here. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you will be seated for a moment. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. We just started our service today. We started our service today talking about God or singing about His goodness. And, you know, grace is God's goodness in action. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. God's people should experience His goodness all the time because He is a good Father. And one way that we testify of who He is and the reality of Him is to share with others His goodness and to tell His goodness and to tell what He's done for us and to, you know, to tell how He's shown His love towards us. And one of the things I think that we can often overlook is we can get focused on the needs, focused on the shortcomings, and we forget to notice and to then declare and tell others, share with others what God has done and His goodness towards us. And over, it's interesting, if you read the Psalms and over, even in the Old Testament, there was that admonition over and over to share what God has done. In fact, God would have them to build memorials. They would get piles of rocks and pile them up to remember that at this place God did something. And at this place God did something. And then not only that, they would name places based on what God had done there. They would actually change the name of something to be, this is the place where God did so and so. And so I think that, you know, we as a people should celebrate not just what Jesus did for us at Calvary, when he took our sins and died our death and was resurrected so that we could be free from the curse of sin and the death that it brought. But also for all the things that he's done for us that, you know, come out of that, all of his goodness. And so I'm just thinking we have a little time. Why don't we have some testimonies today? Has the Lord done something good for you? And I think we're going to start with one that should be okay. We're going to start with a really great, awesome testimony. If y'all are okay with that. Is everybody okay with it? It'll be worth your time. Don't worry. Frank and Rhonda, you want to come? This is one of those testimonies we've been sitting on for a while, but today we go in public. Come up here. Frank, take those glasses off because we're going to... My goodness. All right.
Good afternoon, or well, no. Good morning, Good News Church. How y'all doing? God is wonderful. God is good. For those of you who don't know, my wife and I, you know, at one point early in our lives, we wanted a child. And over like the 22 years we married, we never saw that happen. We never saw the fruitfulness of it. And I always felt some type of way, even though we would see people be blessed with kids, whatever, you know, we were happy. We were happy and were supported. We were godparents. We were godparents to many kids. But there was always that lingering question in my mind. How come we never had our own? And we've been to several OBGYNs and, you know, checked in and stuff like that. And, you know, it just never happened. It was always something. And, this year, an opportunity, it just dropped. It came out of nowhere. We weren't even trying to expect it anymore. We just like, whatever happens, we'll just move forward. But always, me personally, I don't know how everybody else felt. Me personally, I always had this like, wow, Lord, you forgot me. You forgot my wife. You forgot us. All we did was just serve and be faithful. Well, anyway, a month ago, we was talking with some friends, a childhood friend of mine, and they asked, hey, you know, you guys ever thought about adopting? And say, well, we would, but the paperwork process is very long, and I don't know, it just seemed like there's so much to be going through. And maybe 3 weeks ago, we got a call from a friend and said, would you like to adopt a newborn? And we're like, what? So anyway, we met with the, what it is that our childhood friends has a younger adopted sister who's going through a lot of challenges in her life, drugs and everything, and she didn't have two kids. Her parents, my childhood friend's parents, they adopted the oldest child who's 7, who's living with them. You know, the parents, they're like 68, but they took on the role. And then they had a second child, the sister, and she's like 2. And so my childhood friend took that child. And so there's a third one now. And they were saying, hey, would you like to be the adoptive parents? And we accepted. So we get ready to be parents. Church, I ask that you guys keep us in prayer. It's overwhelming for both of us, especially me. Y'all have no idea. Over this month, it's been overwhelming. First of all, but just believing that, well, how are we going to be parents? Second, to actually, is this really happening? I'm almost 48. I feel like Abraham and Sarah up in here. But God has proven himself faithful. We told, you know, we wanted to make sure members of our family knew. They announced it on my wife's entire family reunion in Texas. Then I finally told my family last week. So now they know. I just had to brace myself and say, how am I going to present this to the church? I didn't know how I was going to present it. Pastors knew. They were excited. I'm terrified. But God has proven himself faithful. So we're going to have, within the next week or so, the mom is going to give birth to her third child, which would be our son, that we were going to be put into the doctor paperwork process. Said, we're going to name the child Christian. I'm going to make sure I got this right. Christian Warren Carson Ball. That's what we're going to name. We're going to name the Warren is named after my wife's father. The mom requested Christian, and we love it, Christian. So I just ask you guys to give me prayers. Like I said, be supportive of us. I'm nervous. We've never done this before. I don't know about going about the process. I don't know about being a parent, but I ask for your church support. Thank you.
All right. Well, you can't go anywhere. We need to pray for y'all. We really need to pray for Frank. Come down here, you guys. Hallelujah. God is good. I appreciate you saying what you said, Frank, that you felt like God forgot you. We just sang that over and over. We just, Nate read the scripture. That he will not forsake us. He will not. He will not. And I know you wanted a child a long time. Abraham went a lot longer than you. And I just want to encourage the rest of you. You might think, hey, it's over, it's done. I mean, 48's a little old for sleepless nights that are ahead. Let's pray for them. Y'all come along, those of y'all who want to. Let's gather around them. They're going to need more than your prayers, though. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Father. Oh, my goodness. You are faithful, God. Father, I just love the way that you redeem their desire for a child, but yet there's such a need for this child to have a family and to have parents and to be raised in a godly home. And you have an awesome way of redeeming. You have an awesome way, Father, of bringing together things that are broken and bringing out of that healing and hope and restoration, bringing forth a beautiful life. Joy. Hallelujah. So we just take a moment and honor you, Father. Just a stray comment could be turned into this. Just an offhanded comment that Rhonda made, and then here we are. How good are you at working all things together for our good? And Father, we pray for Frank and Rhonda. The preparation that they've had, hallelujah, the years that they've spent, they're not in vain. All the moments of caring for others, reaching out, fathering and mothering many, many others, these are just moments of preparation for what is ahead with Christian. And we thank you today, Father, that they are prepared and equipped. Hallelujah. And the same God that has brought them to this moment, you are taking them through this with an abundance of your joy and your grace that's upon them. Hallelujah. There's strength within them. In Jesus' name, the power and the wisdom of God to do what needs to be done, to handle every situation that arises, to walk through this with the birth mom, to walk through this with the family, to walk through this with their new baby boy with grace and wisdom. There's an abundance of that for them. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you to meet and supply and fill to the full every need they have. Certainly there are natural needs that they have. Certainly a month ago, they didn't know their home had to get ready for a baby, and there's a lot of work that has to be done. I thank you for supernaturally just supplying, bring it. Father, they've been so generous with others. I know you're being generous to them. Thank you, Father, for every need, all the ones that they anticipate and those that they don't. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, I ask you to surround them, Father, with the support and the strength that they need. Help us and enable us as their church family. Father, that neither one of them have family local. May we be, Father, may we be the support. May you bring even others in to support and to strengthen them. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord.
Father in heaven, we just thank you that your perfect love casts out fear. If there's any fear or nervousness, your love just banishes that from this household. And I just thank you for an abundance of your love flowing in Frank and Rhonda, love they didn't even know they had, just to flow. They abound in that. This house will be filled with your love and your goodness and your graciousness. Oh, we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, and this will be good, and this will be a blessing. Oh, thank you, Father. We'll give you praise. We'll give you glory for it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Woohoo! Woo! The Lord, He is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let this be an encouragement to you, whatever that you've been trusting God for. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it may seem like something very different from this. Don't let that go. God is faithful. He who has promised is well able to bring it to pass. It's interesting. You know, Rhonda's our admin assistant here. And last summer, we had almost the same situation happen with Terry and Matt Wiley. They had been wanting another child for a long time and had really given up almost. You know, it was just that they put it down and put it in the back of their head. And then they've had little Liam for a year now. It's amazing how good God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just bless the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something so close to the heart of God when people open their homes and their lives to children. I mean, that's what He's done for us. He pulled us in and gave us His life and made us His very own children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for the other things that you have in the works that we don't know about. The scripture's playing that you work all things together for our good, and we don't always know what you're working on. We don't know what you have planned, but we know that your plans are for good. So we just lift up the plans that you've been making and the things you've been working. I know there are things you have at work right now, even for people that are here that have no inkling or knowledge of what you're working and what you're stirring. I pray, Father, that we would be found faithful, that we would be attentive, our ears would be open to you, and that we would make our connections, and that we would be at the right place at the right time with the right people so that we would connect to what you have for us. Hallelujah. We don't know everything, but we do know how to hear from you. We don't know all the steps, but we do know the one who orders our steps. So we just endeavor to listen, to be open, not be distracted, and to just continue to trust you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I just have a sense that many more things are going to be happening to you and through you and to people in our church and people associated, that God's going to just surprise you with some things and some things that are going to come up and situations you're going to be involved in that you didn't necessarily expect, but it's going to be a real blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Would you just stand to your feet as we close today? Hallelujah. God is good. Let's pray once more. Father, we thank you for your goodness today. Thank you that we do see your goodness in the land of the living. We experience it, Father, and we're expecting it, even in the days, the weeks, the years to come. Your goodness coming towards us, flowing through us. Father, I thank you for a lot more suddenlies that would take place in our lives. Yeah, all of a sudden, things changing, things transforming, our lives being changed. Father, we're grateful for it. Grateful for your goodness to this church. Grateful for your goodness to the people of this church. Father, use us to be good and conduits of your goodness to others who are around us. Father, we've gotten life, we've grown in life, so we can now give life to others. And thank you that we would be thrust out into the harvest field to reach people like never before, to show them your grace, to show them your mercy, to show them your love, to speak empowerment over the people today in Jesus' name. It would be bold. It would overcome timidity in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we said, amen. Amen. I want to remind you that we have prayer partners at the available at the end of every service right down here at front, and hospitality in the atrium. And campers will be returning at 1 o'clock, so you've got time to make a mad dash to the restaurant and come back, or stick around, hang around and fellowship. But they'll be back at 1. You need to be back here to pick them up. Y'all have a blessed day. Love you.